This is the Palm Sunday reading from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11 and 14 through 17.
As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem and came to the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples ahead, saying,
"Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away."
This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet.
"Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey."
The disciples went and did as Jesus told them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks for them for Jesus to sit on.
A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted,
"Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!"
When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered,
"This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them.
But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were very angry.
"Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him.
"Yes. Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise?'"
This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Starkett family, for reading the scriptures for us. It has been wonderful to be able to involve many of you in the service today as we celebrate Palm Sunday, even though we can't all be together. Let's go before the Lord now in prayer. Holy God, we thank you and we praise you for who you are. You are the God who was and is to come. Nothing that happens in the earth today changes who you are. Lord, we come together to celebrate Palm Sunday this morning, to celebrate the act that you did of coming into the kingdom, of displaying your power. We pray that you would awaken our hearts and souls to your scripture this morning. Make us hearers of the word and doers also. Lord, bless the reading, the preaching of your word, and the meditations of all of our hearts as we rest on you, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we turn to the Palm Sunday story, it's such a familiar story. Jesus entering in, starting at the top of the Mount of Olives and traveling down and entering into Jerusalem. He is welcomed with great pomp and circumstance. He is welcomed by people crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And you wonder as you watch this incredible triumphal procession, why Palm Sunday had to happen before Good Friday. We know that Jesus is about to enter the hardest week of his entire life. He is about to be betrayed by his friends, crucified on a cross. And yet, God decided that Palm Sunday, this moment, was incredibly important to celebrate. What was it about this, and what is it about it now that is so important for us to celebrate, even in the midst of a pandemic? I know some people are wanting to put off Easter until all of this is over. But I think it's very important to proclaim Easter, to proclaim the work that God has done, even in the midst of this hardship. God's story does not change. He himself does not change. And he calls us to worship in the midst of the high holy days and the lowest times of our lives. Even there, even when we don't feel like it, God is inviting us into a place to proclaim his truth in worship. As we look at our story today, we look at Jesus entering the whole time of Holy Week, entering into Jerusalem. And these people are gathering around and saying, "Hosanna." As Arden Agusi just said a few minutes ago, Hosanna means please save us. It means crying out to a Savior. And what more perfect thing to cry right now than God, save us. Please save us. And to celebrate that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Of course, when the people were gathering around and waving their palm branches and laying their cloaks on the road, Jesus was coming in as a very different kind of conqueror than they were expecting. They were expecting someone to come in and vanquish the Romans and change the political order of things. But Jesus was a very different kind of king than they were expecting. As we look at this moment, we cry out to the Lord, and we need a heavenly king. We don't just need change here on earth. We need change in the heavenlies. We need God to vanquish all of us from all the evil that's coming against us, this horrible virus and all of these other things. We need God's power that is so much infinitely bigger than humanity. Something very powerful is happening here as Jesus is entering the kingdom. This is not just an event that happened on one day 2,000 years ago. It was an event that had been prophesied long, long before that. I've been reading in the book of Ezekiel lately, which is not the best book to be reading during a pandemic, I don't think. It's kind of hard. It's all about judgment against the people. It is a really rough book. But one passage stood out to me this morning as I was reading from Ezekiel 43. If you remember in Ezekiel, there's the description of the temple falling and the glory of the Lord leaving the temple. The glory of the Lord leaves, first it leaves the altar, the Holy of Holies, then it goes to the threshold, and then it goes off to the top of the Mountain of Olives to the east, and it goes away from there. We see the glory of the Lord leaving because the people have brought in idolatry, idol worship, into the temple itself. The temple has been desecrated, and God says, okay, I'm done. And the glory of the Lord leaves. But in Ezekiel 43, there's this amazing prophecy. I saw the glory of the God of Israel coming from the east. His voice was like a roar of rushing waters, and the land was radiant with his glory. The glory of the Lord entered the temple through the gate facing east. Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The presence of God, the glory of God came back into the temple. This was a prophecy, a promise of restoration of who God was and what he was going to be doing. And this promise, this incredible prophecy from hundreds of years earlier, is what we see fulfilled on Palm Sunday. Jesus Christ himself, Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, comes into Jerusalem from the east. He comes from the top of the Mount of Olives, and he traces his way down the Palm Sunday road as people lay their cloaks out before him and wave palm branches and shout, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This incredible thing is happening. This amazing fulfillment of God's glory returning into Jerusalem. God is announcing that he is back. He is here. The king is here. It's not just a human king who will come to vanquish the Romans. He is a glorious, majestic, heavenly king who is changing all of the world order from then on out. He is with us, and he will always be with us. It's interesting to think about what it meant for Jesus Christ to enter into Jerusalem. As he came through, the Pharisees were extremely angry. What the heck is this guy doing? This person who is just an itinerant preacher, what right does he have to enter Jerusalem? And as he comes down in this incredible festal procession, they start complaining, why, Jesus, are you letting people praise you? Why are you letting them get away with this? The children are crying out. The people are crying out, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is an incredibly powerful thing that they're proclaiming, and the Pharisees are upset. So they tell Jesus to knock it off, to tell his disciples to stop. But Jesus says something that still blows me away. He says, if they didn't praise me, then the rocks would cry out. The rocks would cry out. The very earth would vibrate with the praises of the one who comes in the name of the Lord. There's something so much more profound happening here than just the event of that moment. What is happening is the King of Kings is arriving and coming into his kingdom. And the very earth marks that coming. It is the most profound truth we can even think about. We know that he is coming in, and after he comes in, then he will have to go through the terrors of Holy Week, of Good Friday, all the way to make it to Easter, But this moment as Jesus Christ comes into Jerusalem is a moment that changes history. As the people are proclaiming the king is here, it's this grand annunciation. The earth is crying out that God is there. So why do we need to exercise this, to say this over and over again? Because it is one of the most profound truths that changes who we are and how we live and how we think about the world. Our study guide this week is we're looking at the spiritual discipline of worship. It says, worship is a continual rehearsing and refreshing of the truths we already know. Worship is a remembering, it's a reclaiming, it's a holding on to the truths that are way bigger than we are. They're incredible, powerful, infinite truths that will never change. That's why we have to celebrate Palm Sunday in the middle of a pandemic. This is the moment where we get to say, this is who is king. It doesn't matter who is president or prime minister or in charge of any other human organization. What matters is that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. And we will remember, we will rehearse, we will remind ourselves what is true about this over and over again. I know that you all probably have the same struggle that I do. There are times when it is easy to forget what God has done. It is easy to get caught up in the day-to-day lists, in the bad news on TV all the time. But God calls us to remember. We see the word remember more than 300 times in the Bible. It comes up over and over again. There's a call to the Israelites, remember that God who raised you up out of Egypt. There's a call on behalf of the Israelites to God. God, remember your promises. You said you would take care of us. You made a covenant. Remember your covenant. There is this back and forth conversation happening that calling us to remember and us calling God to remember and to hold on to the truth that transcends our current situation. As we remember all that is true about Palm Sunday, that is where we are going to find our hope in the midst of a pandemic. This is the truth that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, is here. He has come into his kingdom. We are living in that weird in-between time between he is here and he will come back, his second coming. So we're in the middle of what's frequently referred to as the now and the not yet. But while we are in that weird now and not yet, we need to proclaim what is coming all the more and what God has done. And that's why we celebrate Palm Sunday. Worship is not just a remembering. It is also a discipline. Worship is something that we need to do even if we don't feel like it. It is hard to worship right now, and I have struggled with that this week myself. But it is important for us to continue to do it. Again, because it reminds us of what the truths are that are infinitely stronger than all of the swirl going around us. We talked a lot about Andrew Brunson in the last year or so in our church. Andrew is the EPC pastor who was in prison in Turkey for almost 2 years. If you talk about quarantine and social isolation, you can just imagine what he felt like being trapped in a Turkish prison, the struggles that he went through. And he talked about one of the things that helped him keep his sanity was a commitment to worship. God is calling all of us, no matter where we are or how the world is going on around us, he still wants our hearts to worship him. And Brunson said he had to dedicate himself to that. He held on to especially the passage about David when he danced before the Lord, and he decided that one of his worship disciplines was that he was going to dance every day. He said, I'm a lousy dancer. He demonstrated that for us one time at General Assembly. He was like, I'm going to make a fool out of myself, but here's what I did. Every single day, he had 1 hour outside every day, and he would spend part of that time dancing before the Lord. He said, I didn't feel like it. It was silly looking, but it was a discipline of proclamation. God says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And this was his way of capturing the joy, of claiming the joy and the power of worship, even literally in a Turkish prison. You know how I've repeated often what he said about protection, that God, we trust God to protect us unless not protecting him brings him more, excuse me, unless not protecting us, brings him more glory. And that's what we're having to hold on to right now. Lord, please protect us from this virus. Protect us from all of the things happening around us. But your glory is the most important. Your worship, your proclamation of your truth is the most important thing. And Lord, we lift ourselves up to you. We are at your mercy. And we will trust you no matter what. David in the Psalms writes about this. Pastor Steve sang "As the Deer Pants for the Living Water." That song is from Psalm 42. And there's this longing to be with God and to have God help out in a situation. I'm going to read a little bit for you. David is just crying out, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why are you so downcast, my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Here is David, torn away from the temple, torn away from the worship of the people. He's longing to be part of the crowds, the festal throng. But he looks in his soul and he sees his deep depression and despair. And he says, "Why are you so downcast within me?" And he plants his feet on the rock, the solid bedrock of Jesus Christ. And he says, "I will yet praise him, my Master and my God." You can see that act of faith. Worship is a profound act of faith. We are all struggling to understand what's going on, but when we plant our flag on the bedrock, that is putting our faith and our trust in our God Almighty. When the world doesn't make sense, we're saying, "God, I trust you to make sense of all of this." I've shared a couple of times recently Corrie ten Boom's amazing quote, "Don't be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." And that is what we are facing. We face a very unknown future, but we trust a known God. We offer praises to our known God, and we can lean into him and proclaim his truth and know that he is going to be with him, with us. We can rest on his promises. We can stick our toes into the bedrock and say, "I will yet praise him, my Master and my God." As we turn to the time of Holy Week, the season of Palm Sunday, the hardship of Maundy Thursday and the betrayal of Good Friday, as we look to the death of Christ on the cross, it is so incredibly important that we worship this year. It is so incredibly important that even though we are far away from each other, that we still stand together and proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is the one who is coming and will always be here. It is incredibly important that we plant our flag on the bedrock of Jesus Christ, especially this week as we celebrate Palm Sunday, as we celebrate Good Friday and Easter. We need to lean into the truth that God has given us, that Jesus Christ came in. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the one who fulfills the prophecies from thousands of years ago. He is the one whose glory fills the temple. And we can lean into that truth and repeat that truth and proclaim that truth in the midst of the darkness we're in the middle of right now. We can proclaim that truth to the fear that surrounds us. We can proclaim that truth to the uncertainty of our future. As we look at Palm Sunday, one article I read said, "As you celebrate Palm Sunday, do so with the same kind of desperate yet joyful dependence that the crowd placed on Jesus as he entered Jerusalem." That crowd was oppressed. It was oppressed by a human army of the Romans. It was oppressed by legalism and control. We are in the midst of an oppression that comes from the outside. But in the midst of that, Jesus Christ enters into our circumstances. He offers us the hope of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And he says he will be with us. Even as we look to the next days, he enters in to the worst of the pain and the sorrow and the sinfulness of human nature. He takes on our sin. He takes on our infirmities. And by his stripes, we are healed. Brothers and sisters, as we celebrate Holy Week, far away from each other, but united in spirit, united in heart, we know that our worship is touching on something infinitely greater than this week in 2020. It is touching on an eternal truth that our God is King. He was, He is, and He ever shall be King. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Holy God, we do thank you and we praise you. We worship you, King of kings and Lord of lords. Lord, you know where our hearts are right now. You know the struggle. It is hard to worship in the midst of pain and fear and unknown. But Lord, we plant our flag on the bedrock of Jesus Christ. We claim that you are the one who is in charge. You are the one who will save us. As we proclaim, Hosanna, please, Lord, save us. Lord, we do lift up all those around us who are suffering, those who have lost loved ones, those who are sick and wondering if they're ever going to get better, those who are afraid of being sick. Lord, we pray that you would minister, that you would protect, that you would intervene in all of these situations. We continue to pray that you would stop this virus in its tracks. Lord, just stop it. End its replication. Make it not be contagious anymore, whatever you need to do, but stop it in its tracks. Lord, we also pray for those in our community who are hurting because of unemployment, of jobs just vanishing, of future and plans. Lord, it seems like nothing we thought would happen 2 months ago is happening now, and we're all having to learn what's going on and how to survive in this new reality. But God, your reality is more real than anything that we can see. And we will not be afraid to trust our unknown future to you because you are our known God. Lord, we pray as we present all of our petitions and prayers with thanksgiving. We pray that the peace that passes understanding would guard our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. We ask for your intervention. We ask for your blessing, your appearing. Lord, be in us and with us and through us and help us proclaim that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords, especially to those who have never met you, who do not know what is bedrock right now when everything else is in flux. Holy God, we thank you for this week and we pray that you would help us to enter into a heart of worship, even in the midst of this craziness this week. Nothing is the same. But we long to join you in your temple. We long to praise you in your presence. We long to see your glory. And we pray that you would be with us. You say that you seek worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. Lord, when we can't be together, we pray that you would join us in spirit, that we may be in your presence, in spirit and in truth. We rest on your truth. And Lord, we rest on the truth that you have called us your dearly beloved children. And we will pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as your children, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.